All right, all right, all right.
All right, all right. What is the business, sir?
Man, the business is booming.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Like the sound of
So
that.
I fucking work related, but I got a partnership with this smoothie. I don't know if to call them a bar or what, but yeah, there's a
We have
smoothie
smoothie bars
place.
here.
I don't know what to call it, but they sell smoothies and whatnot. So
Cool.
got a partnership with them, so kind of like a you scratch my back, I scratch your back type of thing. You know
Hell
what I mean? So
yeah.
we got something going on there. So big move today.
Nice.
Other than that, man, just slow motion, just getting ready for draft season, NBA playoffs, fucking women's
Woo!
basketball going crazy.
It's a beautiful time in sports right now. We're kind of on the precipice of a lot of big moves in a lot of different sports. So I'm digging the energy right now in the sports world. That's for damn sure.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah. What
Yes.
about you? What about you?
Well, other than the fucking snow, because this is Wisconsin and it's April, so why shouldn't we be in the middle of a blizzard? Yeah, that makes total sense. Global warming isn't a thing. Fine. Anyway, other than the fucking snow we had today, pretty good. I'm like understanding my age a little bit more these days, and how I've mentioned many times where if I'm drinking too much, a hangover lasts like 2 days. Now it's starting to progress, and not for drinking, but for just basic movement. So we had a very busy weekend. Like the wife doesn't always have the weekend off, so she had a nice Saturday off, and I said, "What are we gonna do? We should go do something. Let's do something with the kids. Fuck it." And so my brain said, "I want to do a whole bunch of shit on Saturday, and not just a bunch of shit. I want to do things that we haven't even done before, places we haven't been to before, without traveling or spending too much money." So, what was the best way of doing that? There's a lot of little Wisconsin joints that are considered iconic that we've never been to. So Saturday, we got up early. We hit up IKEA, the big fucking IKEA store in Oak Creek. Just knock out the park. Fucking the Mars Cheese Castle. Never been there. That's a Wisconsin staple. People come from all over to come to the Cheese Castle. I've been in Wisconsin most of my life. Never been there before. I've always driven by it. Never stopped by. So I said, and neither had she. So I said, let's go. Why the fuck not? It's close to IKEA anyway. So let's just make like a day trip of the shit. So we checked that place out too. Surprisingly little cheese. I'm not gonna lie. Like, it's a cool place. It's a big place. And there's a lot of shit to see, you know, souvenirs and meats and merchandise and beers. And there's little restaurants inside. So it's like a small mini mart in the shape of a fucking castle. But the cheese is all like on one side of the building. And I was like, I expected like like Willy Wonka's factory full of
But
cheese.
cheese, yeah.
Yeah, that's what I was expecting. And this was just like a glorified grocery store. Now, I'm not knocking it. I think it's a cool place. There was some cool shit we saw. But after all these years, a little disappointed by the lack of cheese.
That's some Wisconsin shit right there.
Right. Oh, that's like an anti-Wisconsin thing. Like, you'd think a cheese castle would be made of cheese at this point. That's how Wisconsin that idea is. So,
That
yeah.
cheddar, that pepper jack,
That
that
oh.
Kobe jack, that.
I'm not saying we didn't buy some cheese. That still fucking happened. I had some fucking spicy cheese curds just a little bit ago. That shit was fucking fire. So they got good stuff to buy. I think we got some venison jerky, or was it elk jerky? It might have been
Ooh, now
elk.
we talking. Now
So
we
yeah.
talking.
So a little charcuterie shit. So we got some good stuff. It was just like, damn, that's like 30% cheese, and the rest of it was souvenirs. But not bad, not a bad little pit stop. Also, went to 7 Mile Fair. I don't know if you know about 7 Mile Fair.
Hell yeah, dude.
Yeah.
Man.
Woo! That's my shit, dude. That's the place like that was like Disney World to us growing up. Because my mom would take us out
Facts.
there, but like, you know, you couldn't afford to go like to Six Flags and shit. But 7 Mile Fair is a hell of a way to spend a Saturday. I fucking love that place. And it hasn't changed much. Just, you know, some new things in there, but the vibe and the concept, it hasn't changed in at least 40 years. So I dig
Man,
that about that place.
anything you need, you can get it at 7 Mile Fair.
It's all there. Woo,
It's
it's all
all there.
there. And it's cheap too. Trust me, especially people with kids, that is $3 to get into that place for adults. Kids under 11 are free. So I was like, let's go spend 2 hours there and buy some bullshit. So we bought some knockoff shit. Cindy got like a little like Pikachu backpack, but you know, it's not brand Pikachu. It's like comes a little off, like
It's
the tails.
Pikachu.
It's Pikachu, but it's the nose is a little off, the tail's a little off. You know, just minor things. Only like a nerd like we would fucking notice, but but she loved it. Actually, it was $20, yo. Like,
hey,
that's a whole ass backpack.
Fuck
it. It's like,
yeah,
fuck yeah.
Dude, backpacks are fucking expensive.
Oh God, tell me about it, man. It's ridiculous. Ridiculous. Yeah. I was trying to buy an Adidas one the other day too. And I was like, shit's like 60 bones, bro.
Yo, my Nike Elite bag was like $90.
See? Like, yeah. What, these fucking purses and shit? Like, what the fuck?
I mean, it's nice. It has like the Air Max bubbles like on the fucking thingy thingies. The shoulder thingies right here. So it's nice and comfortable. You know what I mean? There's a little nice little socket for my basketball I could put in there. Fits my shoes nicely. You know what I'm saying? Like, don't get me wrong.
Oh, yeah.
It's nice, but $90 for a backpack? Like, you get the fuck out of here.
That's
fucking
crazy.
Bought it. Fucking capitalism.
Yeah, I mean, you gotta buy it. I'm not saying don't buy it. I'm just saying, damn, that kind of fucking sucks. But yeah, we got, you know, looked around a couple things. They got like arcades and shit in there now too. And they have that that game, the arcade, where you have to punch a punching bag and see how hard you can hit.
Yeah.
Had to try that shit out. I'm not gonna say what score I got. Just I made a lot of excuses right after I was done. So that should tell you kind of the range I ended up. But it's okay because we were like still kind of hanging around. And I saw some other dude walk up right after I did and he tried it out. So I was kind of like trying not to be weird about it. Like, just go, what score does this motherfucker get? It was like 5'5". I'm like, okay, I got to do better than this dude. And I did. I was like 200 points more than that guy. I was like, okay, thank God. Thank God. I still got it. Kids are still impressed. Wife is still impressed. We're good. But in my head, I'm like,
I want to try that shit.
That shit's fun. That's fun, dude.
Boom.
Yeah. Right. Because it's not all like power. It's precision too, but you know about that shit. So I think you do well with it.
Yeah.
Take the girl and do one of those. That's always a good time too. Where else do we go? What's fucking Apple Holler? Just for the donuts.
Apple Holler.
Yeah, you never heard Apple Holler? Oh, you ain't got no kids though. It's like a petting zoo, apple farm kind of like, not cowboy, like a Wisconsin Dells kind of place, you know.
What are you petting there?
Oh, nothing. I guess I am petting like a goat, like an Arab goat. Yes, there's goats to pet and horses you can ride. Anyway, a little, you know, old fashioned kind of place, and you can get some cool stuff there. But they have like apple cider donuts, which are incredible. So that's worth the trip along.
That actually sounds really good.
Oh boy, those are fresh every day. So I was like, gotta get a six pack of that shit. Went to Indeed Brewing, the Milwaukee Public Market.
Oh, the Public Market! You can't beat the Public Market.
That's a top tier. Yeah. Top-tier
lobster
location.
Rolls from there. Oh,
ooh, boy. I went to Pat's Rib Place. I was like, I got to. Gotta love Pat's, man.
Oh, yeah.
Because it used to be in Waukesha, and then they moved to the Public Market. So I haven't been able to get good ribs in like 3 years. So they fucking left for the Public Market. But we said what's up to them, too. They're friends. And just more shit like that. A lot of just Wisconsin icons shit. But all I have to say is my legs are still fucking on fire. My feet are still hurting.
Showing.
Woo! It's the weather's cold. I'm doing a lot of walking. That's a bad combination, man. I think I had like 25,000 steps that day. I was like, we were
beat. Good for you.
Yeah. I had a great time. I'm glad we did it, but damn. I'm feeling it today, bro. I'm feeling it. But yeah, it was a good weekend though.
Hell yeah.
There is one thing that's going on lately that I need to address. And I bring this up, and I know you're not a dad, but I kind of want to know, as a single man, but you have siblings, been around kids growing up, I want to know how you would handle this kind of shit.
Okay.
Because I am running out of ideas, and I'm going to speak a little bit quieter because the kids, I think, are still falling asleep. But you can understand me, right?
Yeah,
I'll use my Luther Vandross voice. Okay. So Sydney, who we have long said is very smart, she's definitely going to outsmart all of us very soon. She's starting to ask questions. You know, Easter was just past weekend. Happy Easter, anybody listening? And she's starting to put together, like, when we hide Easter eggs, how do mom and dad know how many Easter eggs they need to find? So I've always made the assumption for her, saying, like, I have phone numbers. I have Santa's phone number. I have the Easter bunny. I got the tooth fairy. So I call them up when we need them here, right? That's gotten me a long way. But now she's starting to be like, she's finding candy wrappers of things that we put in the eggs, like in the garbage. So we're doing rookie mistakes, and she's starting to pick up on the shit. So now she's Googling shit. So all of a sudden, shit is getting unraveled to the point where I'm still, and you know me, I'm somebody who is going to triple down on all that shit. Santa's phone number, Santa's camera. I don't care if you're 30. you're going to believe in Santa at my house. So because of that, I'm trying to triple down again, saying like, listen, the Easter Bunny leaves us lists and things. It says, here's how many eggs are hidden, and we'll sign it. Like, I can always be ahead of her. And with Santa, I'm like, we got that stupid little dollar store camera, and he's always watching, seeing if you're good or not. Love that fucking thing. So we're doing all these tricks and shit. It's worked for years. But now that she's getting smarter, I want to know, how would you handle that? Would you just kind of give in and explain it logically? Or are you like me and you would like triple down and just say, I'm a grown man, I believe. There's magic in this house because life is too fucking hard as it is, bro. The magic needs to remain as fast as and hard as I can keep it, man. So that's what I'm determined. Rachel's a little more weak about it. She's like, I'm going to crack. I'm like, no, you're not. You're not going to crack. It's magic. But yeah, how would you handle that if this was your kid?
So with my future children, I'm going to tell them straight up, Santa ain't real.
Ooh, right out the gate?
Right out the gates.
Wow. Okay.
Santa's not real. Santa's just a caricature, if you will.
Okay.
To symbolize the holiday.
I'm already stunned, but go on.
Same thing with the Easter Bunny. Like, I'll tell them straight up, like, these are make-believe characters or whatnot just for the holidays.
Yeah, yeah.
But that still shouldn't stop you from having the holiday spirit. That's what I would also tell them.
Okay. I see what you're saying.
Like, I would. So it's like, if I wasn't, like, it's tough. Like, I know where you're coming from. I really do. To where, sure. You know, you want to. You know,
life is real enough, man. Like,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
You only get those first 10 to 12 years, and then they don't give a shit anymore. But
right, yeah.
That's how I see it, man. I'm keeping the magic as long as possible. I don't care how ridiculous it sounds.
Like, shit, okay, I respect that.
Sure, but go on.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I really do. But if it's me, like, I would have told him straight up, like, all this shit is fake.
Yeah.
We will still celebrate the holidays like normal. I'll hide the eggs. Motherfucker, I'm the Easter Bunny. Motherfucker, I'm Santa. Motherfucker, I'm the turkey on Thanksgiving. Motherfucker, I'm the leprechaun on St. Patty's Day. I'm all that, all right?
You got to throw the motherfucker in there every single time. Oh, that's great. Man. That's great.
Like, if I got to dress up in the suit, I will.
Yeah.
Type shit.
Oh, yeah.
But, like, I would just break it to him because, like, oh, even the Tooth Fairy. Like, fuck the Tooth Fairy. I'm the Tooth Fairy, bitch.
That's happening right now as we speak. I just told Rachel, I'm like, dude, we need a few bucks. And that's the other thing. She's like, she lost a tooth like a week and a half ago. And she was at my mom's house when she did. And so she didn't put it under the pillow then. She brought it back home like a week later and shit. And she's like not saying anything about putting under a pillow. But the last 2 days, she's been waking up going, oh, I put my tooth under my pillow and the Tooth Fairy didn't come. And we're like, fuck, like we never missed that shit. So now I'm on the fucking fence saying like, well, okay, you got to tell your parents so that I can call the Tooth Fairy to come and get your tooth. That's why it hasn't shown up. But she's catching me on the way out to work. So eventually I'm going to get caught. So you might be right. That might be a better approach to avoid all that shit. But
that's what I would do. Cause like I would never lie to a kid. Like I'll lie to a grown ass man. I'll lie to whoever the fuck I gotta lie to. But right, I would never lie to a child. Like even if they ask me,
such a white one though. It's so little.
Even if like they ask me where babies come from, I would not lie. I'd tell them straight up. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like if they are conscious enough to ask me a question like that, I should respect that and give them the real.
I'm so glad you said that. Sully is in sex ed and he had a class today and he has questions about the female period. That was a matter of a couple hours ago. So I'm like, that's funny you just mentioned that. I'm going through that at the same time as of today, as of 6 p.m. Now, this is the second class, and I think he had his first one, God, it had to be 4 or 5 months ago. So that he and I had a really good conversation. I forget. I think it was literally just how a baby is made. That's about it. So I think we had a really strong conversation. Everything went great. This shit, though, I told Rach, I'm like, this is your department. Like, he does not need to hear about the female reproductive system from a man. I'm learning it myself, motherfucker. Like, tell me what you found out. So, I think tomorrow she's got to face that conversation. And I'm like, I want every detail of that story. I can't wait to hear about it because she is... One of us is great at public speaking and the other one is not.
You gotta get it from Sully's perspective.
Yeah.
You got to ask him how it went and what he learned.
He's so shy and sensitive that I don't know if I'm going to get, like, Rachel will paint me a picture. With him, he's gonna be like, it's fine. Like, I just, we talked. That's like, he's non-confrontational. He's very shy about shit. So,
yeah.
I gotta feel that's gotta come from her. But yeah, all I have to say is that shit's wild to have to deal with on an active basis. Like, I'm on my toes right now. She's got me on my back foot. But man, I can't imagine just being so real with them right out the gate. Like, I like the sentiment though, because you're the one that works that hard to make the magic happen. It should be about you a little bit, not about you, but you know, recognizing where the blessings come from. So
actually come from, right?
Actually, yeah.
And
come
they're not
from.
Just see, like, you brought up a good point, recognizing where the blessings actually come from, right?
Because,
like, I don't know if you feel this way, but like, when you, I don't want to say encourage, but I'm gonna use encourage just because I can't think of a better word right now.
Sure.
When you encourage things like the Easter Bunny, like the Tooth Fairy, like Santa,
that's fair. Yeah,
you're essentially telling them gifts can come to you by just wishing and being a good person, right?
Sure.
When you give them the real, they really understand, like, okay, yes, this is a gift. This is a blessing, yes, but this shit took hard work.
You gotta work for it.
And you know what I'm saying? Like, nothing in life is free. You know that just as better than I
Woo!
Know that.
I'm teaching them it now.
Yeah, and so, like, that's one of the reasons why I would just come out straight up and be like, look, all this shit is fake. They're just characters. And so, like,
very interesting.
If you, maybe if you tell them that, like, I'm not sure, but maybe if you tell them that, they would appreciate the hard work they don't see more. You know what I mean?
Right,
because a
right,
lot
right.
of kids don't see the hard work that their parents put in day in and day out.
Yeah.
At work, or even like, they're not even aware of like financial issues
their
parents may be having. You know what I mean?
Nope. Absolutely.
So that's something to keep in mind, I guess, because that's how I feel about it.
That is a very interesting thought, and I could definitely see the merit behind it. I'm 100% not doing that in my house, but I can absolutely agree with that philosophy and see where you come from with it. The interesting thing is I want to know what other people, like, is that a you thing, or is that like a your generation thinks that way? Like, I want to know, you know what I'm saying? Like, how much of a scale that idea is on, because you do see it all the time of like certain old traditions kind of falling to the wayside just because the next generation's like, it's outdated, it doesn't make a lot of sense. Why are you still celebrating it? I could see that overall being a sentiment where maybe it's not quite as celebrated or as cartoony. Maybe it is a little more about just appreciating your family. So it's very interesting. I know when it comes to like Christmas though, specifically, like when we do the Santa gifts, we always do gifts for mom and dad too, but the Santa gifts are like small gifts. Like the Nintendo Switches, the Xboxes, the VR headset, they know that's for mom and dad. Like the big stuff we get the credit for, I would say the little things are like Santa, you know, so, you know, candy and things like that. So I feel you, but I don't think we've taken it too far yet, but I could definitely take it further if I was determined. Yes.
So how do you plan on handling that situation with Sid?
Deny. No, just kidding. No, it's, again, the thing is, she's smart, but I am miles ahead, and I can explain things logically very well. So, especially if I have prep time, give me an hour, I'll convince you. So that's really my plan: is just stay the course, keep the consistencies, and just make sure she doesn't crack mom. That's the key. We're good until she gets mom on a Starbucks run, and then I have no control. I'm not even there in the car with them. Who knows? If something comes they come back and something happens. So. All I'm saying is I know where the weak link is, but we'll
make sure she stays away from her.
That's right. She knows too. She knows exactly what to say to her mom. She's good at that, manipulating, the gaslighting. She's she's a master of it. But yeah,
man. But anyway, she's older and gets a boyfriend. Oh, good luck.
I told you, dude. I'm Mike Lowry at that point. Shotgun at the door. That's the plan. God bless. That's my plan. All right, sir. We got a show to do. How we get started? By playing
that
music?
Let's get started. Let's play that music.
I like it.
1, 2, 3. Backwards.
sip. It's actually good stuff. I bought this new shit. It's Miter's. It's not even
new. Where'd you buy it from?
Oh, it's from, you know, grocery store. Miter's small batch sour mash whiskey. That shit is delicious. So go out and get you a bottle. Very
whiskey,
affordable.
Everything.
I can't, man, I can't help it. I just, it's whiskey or tequila. That's the only thing I can sip on. It's a beer if I'm in the mood, but even that's got to be like one or two and I'm done. So whiskey, man, it's a lifestyle. I can get to Ireland, please, one of these days.
You're in the club too?
That's right. I'm a 1% Irish. I have rights to claim Ireland as my motherland too. So thank you. That's still 1% more than Rachel. So, I'll take it. That blew her away. She's like, I'm not Irish at all. Exactly. She said, I'm not Irish at all. I said, I am literally more Irish than you are. And I have no Caucasian in me at all. So
it's just from the fucking whiskey you drink. That's all.
Right. It worked. Science is real, folks. Anyway, this is the Bank Bro Show. You knew that already. My name is Siege, plus a little bit of whiskey in my system. That guy is Rizzy. Probably fresh off of work, too. But what's the hoodie you're wearing?
This is my guy's kennel that he runs. It's called Mystical Kennels. He
breeds dope.
American bullies.
Why are we not shouting them out? That's amazing.
I've shouted them out before, but...
Oh, have you? Okay, good.
Shout out Mystical Kennels. Pest this dog on IG. Check them out.
That logo was sick, too. That's why I was like, ooh, what is that?
Yeah, this is actually one of his dogs. His name is Carnage.
Carnage. Yep. Damn.
Carnage. And then this is what we call, I believe it's called Elephant Print, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh,
it's
wow.
Representative of the Hmong people, because the elephant is one of our sacred animals.
That's dope. That's so dope. Think out of all the things I looked up for my heritage, like I wanted to see if there's any like cool tattoos I can do, like you have, you know, things that signify your heritage. And I found some cool pieces I'm interested in. I'm gonna show you some later on, but there's a leg piece I really want to do. I'm like dreaming about it at night. I need a tattoo so fucking bad.
What kind of African descent were you?
Oh, Nigerian. That's what it was.
Nigerian.
Yes. So there's some Nigerian tribal tattoos where I was like, ooh, I like you.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. So, like my man said, quite a lot of sports news going on lately. We just had a big rematch in women's college basketball, big tourney going on that we'll get into in a second. And then, of course, with the draft coming up, less than a month away, got some quarterbacks in mind that we want to talk about. Kind of get Ryan's take a lot more than mine because I am dead set on my one being who they need to be. And I'll just talk about that a little bit later, too. But I know he feels very differently about the quarterback rankings compared to what the so-called experts are believing in. So I'm very interested to see his take later on. Before we get into any of that, I have one relationship-type question for you.
Ooh.
And it's a very silly one. But I literally thought about this last week, and then I listened to some other podcasts that I listened to earlier today at work. And for some reason, they brought up the exact same topic. And I'm like, wow, I know how I feel about it, but I wonder how Ryan feels about that. So you are still in a budding relationship with the girl who's not your girl, but is your girl. Lovely lady. But you've been in relationships. You're an experienced person.
Mm-hmm.
What I want to know is, how long would you or do you wait in your relationship before you fart in front of her?
Yo. Not long at all. My boy.
Interesting.
My boy. First date, I'm farting in front of her. I don't give a damn. First date, my boy, I don't give a damn.
Wow.
Let me tell you why.
That's a
Let me tell you
move.
Why. Let me tell you why. Look.
Okay.
One thing women love is a goofy man. That is indisputable. That
Very
is
true.
Set in stone. That is a complete fact.
That's a commandment.
So me choosing to fart in front of said girl that I'm on a date with will subconsciously let her guards down because she's like, wow, he was quote unquote comfortable enough to fart in front of me. Spoiler alert, I'm comfortable enough to fart in front of anybody. I don't give a damn. And I'll let you know if it was me. And I'll let you know if that motherfucker stank or not.
Oh my God.
And the reason why I always choose the first date is because the first date is normally the most awkward. And when you don't know the person, right? Normally that's how it is. When you know the person, I guess the least, so to say.
Sure.
And so when that happens, it's easier to get to know them and it's easier for them to get to know me.
You set the pace right away.
Sets the pace right away, right? You know what I'm saying? Oh, he already farted in front of me, so shit. We're going to talk about whatever, whatever at this point.
Right. You're good now.
Yeah. And I don't know. Yeah. I've always been like enticed and intrigued by like shitting, farting, like all
like
that
scientifically,
shit.
You mean?
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah.
All like, of it.
All of it. Like one of the first YouTube videos I've ever posted was when I was like 14 and I was taking a shit, recording myself talking, and I was just shitting the whole time. And I'm talking about like I was making like machine gun noises, like what you hear in rap songs, that I was making them type noises. Like I was going bananas.
What? Can I ask why? Like, what was the inspiration for this video?
So, all right.
Oh God.
It was during a July 4th weekend. I was in Minnesota with my cousins.
Sure.
My cousin was on the phone with his now wife,
oh.
who I hooked up.
Oh, you hooked them up.
I hooked them up, yeah.
Okay. Woo! I thought you meant something else.
No. So he was on the phone with her. My other cousin was on a date with his girl. My 14-year-old ass ain't had no girl. So I took whatever I had to my right, which was a fucking digital camera, 15 megapixels. I still remember this shit.
Wow. Who knows the damn size? Okay.
Yeah, man. Took that shit. I said I had to take a shit. So I went to go sit on the toilet. First thing I said was, yeah, man. So I'm taking a shit. And then I just start rambling off about what the fuck was going on throughout the day, what was going on at the moment. And I showed my cousin, and we posted that shit on YouTube. That shit was hilarious.
Okay. Oh, my God. Second question. Is it still on YouTube?
Yo, I think it. I'll try to send it to you. I'll try to find it and send it to you.
That's a piece of history.
The title was literally Ryan Poops. It was Ryan Poops, talks, shits, and IDK.
Even the fucking title, bro. Oh, my God.
Yo, I had like a buzz cut. I look totally different.
Well, I bet. But that's hilarious. Okay. That's just fucking funny as fuck. Oh, my God, dude. My point is like that shit, you at 14 with that brain is insane. Like, that's what led you to that. I would never have come up with that in my day. Like, that's just not because the technology didn't exist either, but just that's so just advanced from what I had growing up at like 14 years old. It's just like, wow, man. And then thinking about my kids going on social media in a few years. Ugh, I can't, dude.
Lord.
Anyway, so I was just curious about that. That's interesting that it's a first date move for you. Can I tell you, and I can say it's in confidence, but I'm telling the entire world at this point, I rarely fart in front of Rachel. And if I do, it's like very subtle and covered, like the most convenient fart ever. And we've been together for, it'll be 15 years next year.
Oh,
so,
a long ass fucking time. Yeah.
Yep. Yep. Except for like in bed, it's a little more free, but if we're out like living room or whatever, nope. I keep it very low key. She's never walked in on me pooping, anything like that. Like, I keep that shit sexy, bro. So I am like completely opposite from you. Where I think it's like, I can't, man. Asses are great, but the shit that comes out of them is heinous. Heinous, bro.
That's why I would never put my mouth in. Nope. You know what I'm saying? I would never do that.
All you motherfuckers out there who eat ass, I mean, you do you.
I'm good, though.
Amy. I'm all right. No, it's like a trophy for them. Congratulations.
Yeah. Man, hope you enjoy that upper lip and the way it smells, too. But I'm the type, if my girl's in the bathroom and she's taking a while, I'm the type to knock on the door like, are you taking a shit?
Like, I think it's a fair question, though, after a while.
Like, you know, like, I would, you know what I'm saying, try to peek in, do something. Like,
right.
Because low-key,
if
like,
you're not dead.
It doesn't disgust me, obviously.
Right.
If my girl's taking a shit, I would love it if my girl's taking a shit.
Okay. Follow-up question on that side alone.
Yeah.
Once you have a girl, and I'll say girlfriend or married.
Okay. Okay. So the girl that I'm with right now, sure.
Sure, sure.
Yeah.
How comfortable are you, like, if she has to, like, take a shower, you go in and take a shit? Or you're taking a shit, she comes in and brushes her teeth. Like, sharing a bathroom like that.
Okay. If it's like that, I'm completely comfortable. I don't give a damn.
Wow, really? Okay.
Yeah,
Okay.
I don't give a fuck.
You don't give a
But
fuck.
if it's her, I'm sure she would want me to go away. If she's taking a shower and I needed to take a shit, she would tell me to go the fuck away.
Okay. But you'd be cool with that, though.
Yeah, like if she had to take a shit while I'm showering or whatever, I don't give a damn.
That's so fucking weird to me.
But
Oh, God.
yo, this just reminded
Oh.
me of what happened. Was it? It might have been this morning. It was this
Oh,
morning.
God. Oh,
So,
no.
I slept over at her house,
Nice.
and we were up early, probably like 7 in the morning. We were just laying in bed talking, right?
Nice.
And then I had to let one go, and I was like, I'm gonna let this one go quietly to see if she smells it. And
You're an assassin. Assassin.
the trick is, if you want your fart to be silent, spread your cheeks. No ditty.
That's already caught on.
If
Wow.
you
But you're not wrong.
want your fart to be loud, squeeze your cheek. You
It's
feel
real
me?
science, people. It's real
Real
science.
science, real science. So, I spread them a little bit and I let it go. You know what I mean?
I'm going to do the same thing. You just got to angle it just enough, and it's
You
like, you're good. You're
know what I'm saying? Yep. Yeah,
good.
we're good. That shit must have flew and traveled directly through her nostrils. Because immediately after I let that bitch go, she said, ew. Fart.
Got you immediately. Wow.
And I'm like, I sure did. I sure did. Yeah, that was me. That was me. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
And she was fine with
No, she was dying.
it.
She was dying. And like I was messing with her, like flapping the because I farted inside the
Oh,
blanket. So I would like wave the blanket in her
set
face
it
and shit.
free.
Yep.
Oh, heinous.
So that's the type of man I am.
That's some psycho shit to me, but you do you? That's like psychological warfare in the bedroom.
In the bed.
Man, no, I'm not. But the thing is, she knows I'm not like that. Like, if I'm pooping, nobody talk to me, nobody come in. That's my time. That's my time. With peeing, it's not a big deal. I don't care about shit. Like, but pooping to me, I just, that's such a roadblock for me, and I don't want to get past it. I'm good.
Okay,
But I was curious what the
okay.
kind. I'm not surprised you're like that, but it's still like, Jesus Christ, you're like all about it. Oh, man. Hey.
So like Rachel has watched you piss before?
Like, sure, drunkenly, like outside by a tree or something. Yes. But not like just going in front of her. No. No.
That's funny.
That's.
'Cause one all right, so another story. So maybe a
Oh.
couple weeks ago, her and I were in the bathroom and I was like, I gotta pee. She's like, okay, pee. And so she watched me pee. But like at first I had to pee, but I couldn't pee. You know when like
The mental block.
No. Okay, I forgot to mention this. So, like, all men feel me on this one. When you're aroused, it's hard to pee.
Absolutely.
You gotta like
You have to
bend your
like,
back a little bit, like angle it
yeah,
a certain way, and
angle.
like push the pipe down. You know what I mean?
100%.
Or else that's just going everywhere. You feel
Oh,
me?
yeah. You're spraying the whole floor.
So I was like angling it, and it was like it wasn't coming out. And she was like, "Are you pee shy?" And I'm like, "No." You
No.
must not know me.
I was gonna make an R. Kelly joke, but no, I'm not going
yeah.
there. I'm not going there.
So
Nope.
I let all that shit fly. Hit the toilet hard as
Fire
hell.
hose. Fire hose.
A bunch of hydro pumps.
Oh, God. That was later.
Yeah.
Oh, what? Yeah, that's all. I just wanted to get your take on that. It's been sitting in my brain. I'm like, I've never been that guy, and I'm good not ever being that guy. Ugh.
I've been that
But
guy.
yeah, clearly you have, motherfucker. Let's get some sports because, as we mentioned before, we are fresh off the heels of a tremendous rematch between the Iowa Hawkeyes and the LSU Tigers women's
Learned that from
college
last show.
basketball.
That's how
We
we know
learned it
that
from
from last
last
show.
time. We are learning every week on this show. Yes. Big Caitlin Clark versus Angel Reese. My God, we talked about this last year when it happened in the championships, when LSU did defeat Iowa, and Angel Reese got her ring, of course. We like to crown her. All that energy came back into this fucking game. And Caitlin Clark has, I'm not even gonna say you've been living under a rock because there's no possible way you don't know who that is by now. Sorry. That girl is bawling her ass off. So this is a rematch of the century, and I want to know your thoughts on it. I have video that we're going to put up so you can talk about highlights and everything you saw. But this game was tremendous. I think it lived up to the hype, and we'll get into some results in just a second here. Let me share my screen.
Okay. I'll wait for you to share your screen, and then I'll start giving my thoughts. Because the first thing I wrote down involves the first play of the game for Iowa. So we're going to see what you have up, and then we'll go from there.
I'm just going to hold it right there. Boom. Mm-hmm.
Yep. Oh, wait. Nope. I think this might be later in the game. But, yeah, let's just watch this real quick.
Well, yeah, it's got some time on it.
Nope. This is it. Yep. Okay. Watch this. Pause. This is exactly what I'm talking about. From this moment, LSU was fucked.
Yep. Right?
Let me tell you why. The very first play of the game in any level of basketball, high level, is going to be a high screen and roll. Why? Because the offense wants to see how the defense is going to defend that throughout the game, right? Because from there, you'll get the game plan on the defense. Okay, they're hedging on the pick and roll. Okay, they're playing drop coverage on the pick and roll. They're going over the screen. They're going under the screen. This is motherfucking women's Steph Curry.
Easily.
Why the fuck are you going under the screen? Why the fuck are you in drop coverage on women's Steph Curry? She drains this shit. Surprise, guys. She drained it. She fucking drained this shot because LSU came out playing the pick and roll in drop coverage, giving a miniature Haley Van Lith no help, and having her go under the screen. Because there's no way in hell you come out and defend women's Steph Curry, a.k.a. Caitlin Clark, this way and expect to win a game. That's exactly what I wrote. Drop coverage? Exclamation point, question mark. Under the screen? Exclamation point, question mark.
Oh, Caitlin man. Clark
destroyed Haley Van Lith.
Unbelievable.
I mean, just destroyed her. I don't know why Haley Van Lith was guarding her in the first place.
That was Caitlin my question.
Clark, Caitlin Clark is about 6 feet.
Yes.
Van Lith is like 5'7".
5'7". What was the thought process there?
I have no idea. This white-on-white crime shit doesn't really bode well in this case, all right?
Oh.
Because Caitlin Clark was chicken wrapping her shit. Step back on her shit. Fucking tween, one dribble pull-up on her shit. Like, Caitlin Clark was out of her fucking mind as soon as she saw Haley Van Lith guarding her from the beginning of the game.
Yeah, boy.
One thing I want to give before I get into my whole Iowa spiel, I do want to give some props out to some LSU players.
Yes,
yeah, please. We know about Angel Reese. I'm not going to say anything about her. She balled out, had like 20 boards or some shit.
Thank
you. Not going to say anything about her. We all know who she is. But Flauje Johnson.
Thank you.
She is a fucking dog. In my opinion, she was the best player for LSU this entire game. Her foot was on the gas. She was in attack mode. She reminded me a lot of Jalen Williams, J-Dub, on the Oklahoma City Thunder. Just always in attack mode, always aggressive, no fear in her whatsoever. Another young lady I want to give props to is Last Tier Poa. She only had 6 points and 3 assists, not jaw-dropping numbers whatsoever. She only played 15 minutes. But when she was in the game, her impact was felt defensively and playmaking-wise. Because LSU, if you've been living under a rock and don't know the way LSU plays the game, they play the game in a very methodical, old-school 2000s-type way where they'd like to dump the ball in the post, hit mid-ranges, score inside the paint, overwhelm you with their athleticism and their size. That's how they play. And for whatever reason, LSU was struggling to make an entry pass in the post. And there was many occasions where Last Tier Poa didn't get the assist because they missed the layup on the first attempt. But she would beautifully place the pass over the defense to get into the post or bounce it perfectly to Angel Reese in the post. So shout out to her for having great fundamentals. I appreciate players with great fundamentals because no matter what level of basketball you play on, you will always be successful and always find your niche and your role if you have great fundamentals. And you can know how to find the open teammate, know how to correctly throw an entry pass into the post, hit open shots, play good defense. Like, all of that is appreciated in my eyes. So shout out to Last Tier Poa. Now to get into my Iowa spiel. What they capitalized on was LSU's poor transition defense every time LSU scored. I feel like every time LSU scored, Iowa took the ball out, made a skip pass across the court, and got a layup.
A lot of that in that game.
I don't know what was wrong with LSU's transition defense. I don't know if they were just celebrating too much or what the fuck was going on, but what was up with your transition defense, LSU? I really want to know. Like, I'm curious. Like, I'm not saying like Kim Mulkey doesn't know how to coach or whatever, but I'm just genuinely curious, because why is it that white jerseys are heading back to that court, the court that you have to stop them from scoring on before you?
Good question.
Now, my last point about actually this game as a whole. These are going to be some interesting stats. So when it came to putting the basketball into the hoop, LSU did that more times than Iowa. LSU had 34 total made field goals. Iowa had 32 total made field goals.
Good point.
But this is where the difference comes in, and this is where the game has evolved. Iowa hit 13 out of 31 threes, shooting that clip at 42%. And
God,
large
damn.
Part of that is who? Women's Steph Curry. She hit 9 of them bitches, if I can count.
It was 9, absolutely.
She hit more threes than LSU by her damn self. LSU was 8 for 32. 8 for 24. A 33% clip from three.
Mm-hmm.
That's why they lost this game.
The math.
They didn't lose the game because they didn't rebound, because they didn't put the ball in the basket. They lost this game because they couldn't hit threes when they mattered most. And when it mattered most for Iowa, Caitlin Clark got that bitch, fired it up, and it went in more often times than not.
That's right.
And this is another stat that's going to blow your mind. LSU was plus 18 on the glass, plus 18 on the rebounding category. And they still lost by damn near 10.
That's fucked up.
The game has evolved, ladies and gentlemen. And it's time for coaches, fans, reporters, whoever the fuck, to evolve the mindset as well. The days of throwing the ball into the post, yes, although you can be successful, that's not going to win you the big games anymore. You got to be able to hit shots, create shots from the perimeter. Because three is always worth more than two. I'm not good at math, but 3-2 times is 2-3 times.
Absolutely true. I mean, that's the best way I've even put it. This is something where it needed to happen. And I mentioned it before. We talked about this last year. That evolution was coming. It's been kind of brewing for a couple of years now, at least. But let's not pretend like women's basketball hasn't been dope for a long time. It just hasn't had the eyes and the money behind it. And that's kind of what happens with these leagues. But you got these young stars. These young cats are just dynamite. And I'm loving the offers they're getting. Like Caitlin Clark, I don't know if you heard about that shit, got a $5 million offer from Ice Cube in the Big Three. $5 million is a ridiculous sum of money, and way more than she'll get in any WNBA contract she'll get. Easy. And it's a one-year contract.
Mm-hmm.
She would bring so much money to Big Three. Are you kidding? Mm-hmm. So just seeing opportunities like that get opened up, you know Caitlin Clark's going to be the number one draft pick too. So like Angel Reese is going to have a huge career. Like, it's a lot of star power that you're going to see coming in the ranks here just over the next like 1 to 2 years.
There was a set that Iowa ran. I don't remember if it was a after timeout action or side out action, but it was an elevator screen.
Mm-hmm.
So basically the four and the five women would screen like an elevator door,
mm-hmm.
and Caitlin Clark would come right through it and she'll be wide open for a three. She didn't get the ball, but I love that play call because you will always get your shooter wide open shots with that elevator screen. They run it in Golden State all the time. Fucking love that action.
That's dope. Sammy, there's some evolution there, getting a lot more pro schemes going. Hey, like you said, taking that next step. So well, I love it.
Pro scheme, we hold on to that because I got something to say about this next game we're going to talk about.
So which game? Are you talking about the
USC,
other game?
UConn?
Yes, please go right ahead.
So I got to start with Juju Watkins.
Mm.
Juju Watkins is my favorite women's basketball player to watch.
Mm.
Speaking of pro scheme, she has a pro bag. Like, she hoops like she grew up playing with dudes at the park.
Dang.
The way she moves, the way she dribbles, the way she shoots. Like, you can tell she didn't grow up playing with women. She was looking to play with the dudes.
Mm.
I don't know if she got older brothers or what, but you can tell. Like, she is different. And in my opinion, one day she's going to be the best women's basketball player in the world, in my opinion.
I'm hearing that rumble already.
Even better than Caitlin Clark. And I think Caitlin Clark is already otherworldly.
Yes.
But that's just my opinion.
Damn.
There was a moment in that game when Juju Watkins didn't touch the ball, didn't get up a shot for over 7, almost 8 minutes in the first half. and UConn went on a 19-5 run. My question is, why the fuck wasn't Juju Watkins getting the damn ball?
That's a good question.
Like you are playing right into UConn's hands. What if Paige Beckers wasn't getting the ball?
He ain't winning.
You're not going to win. If the ball is not in the best player's hands, you are not going to win the game.
That's right.
So Juju finally got the ball. She starts getting doubled. She still went off. Like, she still had a great game. But my point is, USC got out-coached.
Mm.
Gino, I just call him Gino. Gino the GOAT. Gino the GOAT. He periodically threw in zone defenses, 2-3. He periodically doubled Juju Watkins. He always got his offense in the best half-court set, always pointed out to his players where to be. If you want to see how to coach, watch Coach Gino at UConn. He is one of the greatest basketball coaches of all time, regardless of gender.
Wow.
But brings me to my next point. Paige Beckers showcased an all-around game, scored at all three levels, showed the three ball, showed that she can get to the rack, showed the midi game, showed that she could play some defense. She got a block, some big-time steals in that game. And most importantly, she hit some clutch buckets. When the game was close and it was late in the fourth, she made a lot of big-time shots for UConn for them to overcome USC, who was a number one seed.
That's right.
And the barrage that they were coming with Juju Watkins. And that all came down to Coach Gino always being three steps ahead. I don't know who USC's coach is. I'm sorry. No disrespect. But I don't know who USC's coach is. But he was always three steps ahead of her. And that was the game.
This was a
very tightly contested game. I think, honestly, I enjoyed watching this game more than I enjoyed watching Iowa and LSU, because the best players for both teams showcased a ton of talent, especially Juju Watkins. I know she didn't get the win, but she got a fucking bag. She reminds me of, like, a Bradley Beal.
Oh, I like that comparison a lot.
Where, like, she can score all three levels, but she loves to get to the mid-range.
Yeah.
Loves to get to the foul line. Just has a natural knack of scoring. She scored 50 points or some shit like that, like, multiple times this season. So, like,
That's insane.
Just a bucket. And I can't wait to watch more of her. But, yeah, biggest takeaway from this game, Coach Gino out-coached USC's coach.
USC's coach is Lindsey Gottlieb.
Yes. Lindsey, I'm sorry, but you got out-coached.
A former Cleveland Cavaliers assistant coach. Interesting.
Oh, wow.
Very cool.
Wow. Don't know why Juju ain't touched the ball for a good, I don't know, 7-8 minutes or so. But, hey, that's not my job to.
Whatever. Hey, man. It is what it is. And, you know, like you said, Juju's got a bright fucking future. So all eyes on her for sure. I know I saw Angel Reese declared for the WNBA draft. So that's going to be big time, too. Big money for her. Man, telling you, women's basketball, better get on that fucking bandwagon now. Because it's not too late. Not too late.
Real quick,
yes, sir.
I don't know if I've said this in the past, but I've always been a big fan of women's basketball. I remember watching like Katie Smith and Swin Cash and the Detroit Shock. Man, I remember watching like Candace Parker at Tennessee going crazy. Like Parker was the one for me. Like that was one of the first women's basketball players where I'm like, damn, she got like a pro bag for real. Like,
oh yeah.
At six, I don't know how tall, 6'7", 6'8".
Something
she was
like that.
Handling
She's
the
huge.
Ball, getting to the rack, shooting the jumper, like all-around game, could rebound, could pass, defend. She was like an Anthony Davis type of player.
Yeah, I dig that. Yeah, Parker for me, again, as a Parker, Lisa Leslie.
Oh, yeah.
Swoops. I mean, those are like –
That's the trailblazer.
Right there. So that's what I grew up watching. So that's been it for me. But, yeah, that whole sport is on the rise, and I love seeing it.
Yeah.
They just need the money. Give them some fucking money, y'all.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let us transition to the other sport of the night, and that's, of course, the big NFL draft coming up less than a month away. I won't get into Chicago Bears shit because, you know, I've beat that dead horse so much now. We're the bell of the ball still. We still are number one pick. All bets are on Caleb Williams coming to Chicago. So, you know, buckle up, folks. But we're still playing it coy. We're still being shy about it, so you never know, something might happen. However, we talked about the quarterbacks quite a bit in the last few weeks or so, just here and there. And with all my takes about Caleb Williams, I know for this man, he made a very poignant stat on how he feels about Caleb Williams versus the other rookie quarterbacks coming in and how he feels Caleb is possibly not even third on the list. So what I wanted you to do is put a ranking together. Tell me your actual list of where you rank the rookie quarterbacks and why.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'll kind of base that off of mine too, because you kind of know where I stand on number one, but the rest of mine, yeah, you might be surprised by. And let's just see. I'm very curious on, yeah, how you actually view these and if there's any surprises even coming in.
Yeah. I mean, we'll go through the list and then you tell me, all right?
Go for it.
Number six. So I wanted to do a top five, but I did a top six with an honorable mention.
No problem. Right?
So number six, I got Joe Milton from Tennessee.
Joe Milton. All right.
What I like about, okay, first I'm going to give a pro comparison. Now, when I give these pro comparisons, I'm not saying that's who he's going to be. I'm saying that's the style of game that he's in a way molded in, his play style is like, right?
I feel you.
Joe Milton, to me, plays a lot like Josh Allen. And especially Josh Allen that came out of Wyoming, that was really raw, big cannon of an arm, athletic, right, can run you over, can run the read option with him, stuff like that. Joe Milton can do all that. Big arm, can run you over, mm-hmm, can make all the throws down on the third level, can hit you with the deep shots. We know that. But where he struggles and why he's sixth is because he shows a lot of inconsistencies with his footwork. Mm. He shows a lot of inconsistencies with throwing intermediate routes and his accuracy there. We all know if it's outside the numbers, he's going to put that on the money. Watch. And most of his throws, oh, yeah, and runs. Oh, wait, is this the run where he trucks the dude? Where he trucks the dude?
Let's see.
Oh, no, he scores, actually. So speed's right by him. So, wait, he can run.
Hey.
But if you pay attention, most of his highlights are going to be shots down the field on go balls. Watch, like this one, like this one. Like, look how pretty he throws this. Ooh,
yes, yes.
Pretty, that's a beautiful ball. But when it comes to, again, intermediate crossing routes, stuff like that, he's a little inconsistent. Hasn't really showcased that he can do it. Not saying that he won't be able to at the next level, but he hasn't showcased that yet. So that I do have to take that into consideration.
I feel you.
If he goes to the right team, I think he can be a Pro Bowl level quarterback.
That's not bad. Hey.
Yeah.
Athleticism. He looks, I don't know his fucking measurements, but I mean, he looks definitely bigger than most quarterbacks. No, yeah.
That's why I'm saying, like, he's definitely like a Josh Allen type quarterback where he can, you know, he's big. He's not frail.
Right.
Again, big arm. I'm going to emphasize he has a fucking cannon. Like, this dude.
Yeah, some of these throws are crazy.
This dude at the combine said hike, waited 5 seconds, then took his drop and threw a 70, 80-yard go ball to a 4-3 receiver. So, fucking cannon of an arm.
Wow.
But at the same time, there's big risk around him. Like, he could end up being, like, I know Malik Willis hasn't really gotten a shot yet, but he could end up being like a Malik Willis. Because his skill set is almost the same. Malik Willis, big arm, great running ability, intermediate routes, footwork, not that consistent. But everything, deep shots down the field, he got.
I do like Willis a lot. I think he's got a lot of potential.
Yeah. You want me to keep going with my list or?
Yeah, next up.
Okay. Now, number five, I got Bo Nix from Oregon.
I knew he was next.
Who he reminds me of. I try to pick somebody else because I feel like everyone else is comparing him to this guy. But he honestly reminds me of Drew Brees.
Oh, you see Brees, huh?
Yeah. Okay. As a, like, the place, the style in which he plays the game.
I see what you mean.
Because he's not the biggest guy. He's not the most athletic. But he can move. He's not the most athletic, but he can move. Most of his throws are, you know, intermediate crossing routes, things like that. I think he'd be great in like a Shanahan, Kevin Stefanski type system.
Okay.
Because he knows how to play the game. He knows how to play quarterback. Like, he knows how to give his playmakers the ball. He doesn't try to do too much.
Oh.
He's going to find the open guy, and he's going to take the check down when it's there.
I'm seeing the Brees thing. I'm starting to see it.
He, you know, like he's not going to wow you with his arm talent. He doesn't have the biggest arm in the world. But like I said, he knows how to play quarterback. He'll never put the ball in a bad spot. Now, that could be a good thing, and that can also be a bad thing. But he will never put the ball in a bad spot. He's in the, like, Drew Brees, Brock Purdy type of mold.
I see you.
And, yeah, I got him number five. I think he's I don't want to call him a project quarterback, but I don't think his ceiling is high. I think he has floor, low ceiling. You know what I mean?
I feel that.
And you know what? Okay. Because if he goes to the right team, I can't think of one right now, but just if he goes to, say, Minnesota, just as an example, right? Or maybe even Cleveland, because maybe they're not sold on Deshaun Watson. I don't know.
I know, like, exactly where you should go.
Where?
You're going to think I'm crazy, but Jacksonville.
Sit behind Trevor Lawrence.
Yes. Doug Peterson. I think that style is perfect for Bo Nix. He's a bigger dude. I mean, he's not bigger, like stockier dude for a shorter guy like Breeze was. I kind of see where you mean there. But from what I've seen, this little bit of tape, though, just those short crossing routes are just his bread and butter, which in Jacksonville, you got some burners, but shit.
No, they work a lot in the slot with, like, Christian Kirk.
Exactly.
Evan Ingram. Yeah.
Short to medium routes. So, I mean, yeah, I could see it. I think that's a good fit.
Yeah, could be. I don't think he'll ever touch the field if he goes to Jacksonville.
I severely doubt it, but good experience. I mean,
he'll be battling Mac Jones for the backup job. And I think he'll beat him out.
That. Yeah.
I think he'll beat out Mac Jones. Yeah.
I can see that.
Now, my number four quarterback is JJ McCarthy.
I got it right.
Okay, before I get into that, his pro comp, in my opinion, would be like an Alex Smith.
Interesting. I wonder why you say that.
So, one, he doesn't have the strongest arm, which is okay, because just like what I said about Bo Nix, he knows how to play he knows how to play quarterback. He knows how to get the ball into the hands of his playmakers. And unlike Bo Nix, why I have JJ McCarthy ranked ahead of him, JJ McCarthy can run.
He can.
Alex Smith had wheels coming out of Utah, and even up until he retired with the Chiefs or whatever team he was on, the Redskins at the time. Alex Smith always used his legs.
Yep.
Always was a threat to run. And that's JJ McCarthy.
Underrated.
JJ McCarthy has underrated legs. He can get the first downs when you need them, kind of like how Brock Purdy was getting them on the Detroit Lions.
You mentioned Purdy twice already now. I'm waiting for you to fucking flip out about it.
No, just speaking facts. We just speaking facts.
That's right. That's right.
But, you know, JJ, again, a lot of his damage is done intermediate routes. Occasionally he'll showcase a deep ball, something on a deep post, something like that, but most of his damage is done intermediate routes, crossing routes, checkdowns, and that's totally fine. Again, same thing I said about Bo Nix. If he goes to a West Coast type team, he's gonna have great success. I think JJ McCarthy, I think he could play right away, because well, depending on where he goes, because if he goes to the Patriots, I think he's fucked.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, like, in that situation, where do you think he should go, where he could start right away?
Yeah, so Minnesota.
There's a lot of smoke to that. Minnesota trying to trade up to get McCarthy like six or something.
Right. But I think Minnesota is a perfect fit with that system.
Yep.
With fucking Justin Jefferson. Like,
woo-hoo-hoo!
Could be a match made in heaven. One place I can also see him going and having success is maybe Seattle.
Ooh, interesting. That's not a bad idea.
They got a bunch of playmakers over there. Again, JJ McCarthy plays the game like a point guard. He's going to dish the ball out to all his playmakers and not do too much. And sometimes that's all that you need, depending on what type of team that you have. And if you got playmakers like Seattle does in the backfield and on the perimeter with the receivers, I mean, shit, I could see it working.
I've been wanting a Seattle receiver on my team for years now. So, like, I know they got something cooking over there. They just need the right pieces. But
yeah,
got something.
If he goes to Seattle, he might not be able to play right away.
Not with Geno.
Because I like Geno. I think Geno's going to hold on to that job.
Yeah,
but I can definitely see him being the successor to Geno.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Which, that's a great position to be in. A great team. I'd like that a lot. So, we'll see. He's an interesting one on my list, too. Just be like, I don't know. My biggest concern with McCarthy is system. I don't ever want to take anything away from him. He had a tremendous undefeated season for Michigan. Amazing championship run. But that team was fucking dominant. And Harbaugh is Harbaugh. But that's the dude. So I worry about McCarthy not in the safety blanket. But that's not a fair assessment, because you can say that about a lot of these motherfuckers. So I'm just putting that out there. I'm a little concerned.
I agree. I kind of agree with that statement, because, like I said, McCarthy, he's not going to do too much. He's going to play within the system.
Right.
He can make plays with his legs. Don't get me wrong.
Yes, he can.
But as far as, like, his arm, he never does anything with his arm to make you go, wow, that was a really good throw. You know what I mean? Like, wow, he fit that in a really tight window or some shit, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, I've never found myself saying that when I watched JJ McCarthy play.
No, not really.
And that's a good point, because, like, without the system. Like, say he goes to a team with a terrible offensive system, like the
which
Bears
happens.
Last year.
Yeah, exactly. Like,
so, like, what is he going to be? He's going to look like shit. He's going to look like Mac Jones.
Ooh.
That's
you
exactly
never want to go full Mac Jones.
Yeah, like Alex Smith, Mac Jones, that's who he kind of reminds me of.
Yeah, I feel that. Very interesting.
Yeah.
Who's next, sir?
Now. Number three. Now, I just want to say before I get into my top three, these three dudes, like, the gap between them and everyone else, in my opinion, is significant.
From the names I got, I would agree with that, yes.
And number three, I got Caleb Williams.
This is where it gets interesting.
This is where I differ from everyone.
Yep. Not everyone. I know a couple people who are the same wavelength as you.
Like, one, don't get me wrong.
One man's name is Ryan Clark. So I'm the other man's name is Dan Orlovsky. But that's the company you keep. You go right ahead, sir. But go ahead and drop some knowledge.
My thing. Okay. So first, again, pro comp, a bigger Russell Wilson.
I'll take it.
Like, I'm not saying he's bad by any means.
I know. I'm gonna try not to be like bearsy about this. You do your thing.
Like, a bigger Russell Wilson. That's actually a compliment. The way he, again, his arm talent, like the way he can throw the ball, different angles, arm strength. He has all that. He also has the ability to run the ball. He's very athletic, very mobile. Obviously, he's a Heisman winner, so you know his pedigree already. Like, he's shown he can be the best player in a league. But why is he third? Number one, I've said this before. You see how he's always bootlegging? I'm not saying he can't drop back and pass, but that's not what he does best. He's mediocre at that. His footwork is his drop right there was very, like, that's not going to get it done in the league.
It was a loss for words seeing that one.
Like, he's very inconsistent with his footwork, relies too heavily on his arm talent. When it comes to playing within the script, making the easy reads and the easy throws, that's where he kind of struggles. He's almost Jordan Love in a sense when it comes to that.
Oh.
Because he'll hit the deep shot, but for some reason, the wide open slant, he'll underthrow or whatever the fuck, right?
Yep.
And a lot of that has to do with the inconsistencies with his footwork, in my opinion. I'm not a QB guru, but that's just what I think from what I've seen.
What? You're not?
But again, the arm talent is undeniable. I can see where people would say, you know, his upside is just tremendous because, I mean, I don't see this, and why people say that he can be Patrick Mahomes, I don't. But
a lot of comparisons to him. I'm like, what?
Yeah,
I don't know, man.
I personally don't see it. I don't think his upside is that high. I think he does have high upside, and I do think he's way better than the other guys that I just named, but I don't think he's the best in this class because he doesn't play his best within the script. He's going to need some bullshitting like a Russell Wilson. You see, when Russell Wilson went to Denver and he didn't look as good, it's because he was in that system, that West Coast system with, who's this coach? Hackett? Nathaniel Hackett.
Yep.
And then Drew Brees' coach, Sean Payton. I don't respect Sean Payton at all.
Wow.
I said Drew Brees' coach.
That's all. You couldn't even name him.
Yeah. But, like, you see Russell Wilson struggling because that system is more traditional drop back, more traditional West Coast 1-2-3 type of reads. And that's not where Caleb Williams is strong. He's actually very average when it comes to that, in my opinion. That's something that J.J. McCarthy and Bo Nix does better than Caleb Williams. But Caleb Williams just does everything else better.
Oh, at least you went there with it.
Yeah. Like, I'm not shitting on Caleb Williams by any means, but I'm just telling people he's not my number one quarterback because of these reasons, but I still think he's going to be a great quarterback. Obviously, I think he's going to be a bigger Russell Wilson. So what does that tell you? You know what I mean?
Maybe two rings, maybe one ring, and then almost two rings and be blown on a stupid fucking call that everyone in the world and your mom knows that you should give the fucking ball to Marshawn Lynch at the goal line.
DeAndre Swift.
Just whatever, but maybe he'd have two rings is what I'm getting at. So I'll take it. I'm good. And he would immediately come in and be the best quarterback in Bears history by having a locker. So we'll love him. You know.
Speaking of Bears history with quarterbacks, one thing he does is hold the ball way too fucking long.
Just like our last quarterback.
Just like Justin Fields. So
interesting.
Be ready to see more of that.
Yeah. Lord help me. If he doesn't pan out. Oh, Lord help me. Okay. Who's your number two, sir? Before I get into a shame spiral, just what's your number two?
And number two, I have the most disrespected and underrated prospect in this entire draft, Michael Penix. Now, I'll get into his pro comparison first, and this might wow a lot of people, but when I watch him play, he's a left-handed Aaron Rodgers with 4-5 speed. The way the ball jumps out of his hands, he's the most natural thrower of the football in this entire draft. Like, this man was literally born to play football. What? Let's just look at this. Look at this throw. Look at where he drops it in.
God damn. I'm sorry. I haven't seen that before. That was crazy.
Like,
that was his first fucking highlight.
No adjustment needed to the ball whatsoever by the receiver here. Like, it was perfectly placed. I think it might have been a crossing route or something like that. Like, that's the thing with Michael Penix. That's why I got him number two, and that's why he reminds me of Aaron Rodgers. He shows touch across the middle of the field when he needs to hit crossers. He shows that he can drive the ball if there's a defender close by and he needs to fit it in a tight window. He shows that he can definitely launch that bitch 80 yards down the field on a dime like he's walking it to the receiver. He can do all that. Oh, and he has a 38-inch vertical. Oh, and he ran 4.56 or 4.59, depending on who you talk to during his pro day.
Damn.
Oh, but there's still questions about his athleticism and whether he can move. Like, I don't understand the questions around Michael Penix. They want to question his health. But the past two seasons, he ain't missed a single snap. He played all of the last two seasons. So what questions are we really asking here? You're basing stuff off of stuff that happened, like, around COVID?
We were different people back then.
Like when he, okay, if you're questioning things about him because of what happened back then, like when it comes to, you know, his injury history and things like that, why don't you also bring up the type of quarterback he was when he was at Indiana, where he was a dual threat quarterback that ran a lot of read option just like this play. But there's still questions around his athleticism. I don't understand it. He can make every throw. He can run 4-5. The only big question I would have, and this is a dumb question, but I had to pick something because I love Michael Penix so much, is his age. That's it.
Yep.
And he can't help his age.
That's true.
So, like, and I mean, now, like, quarterbacks are playing up until they're 40 if they want to.
Oh, yeah.
Like, with the injury history, like, sure, keep that in mind, but I'm not worried about that at all because the kid showed you the last 2 years, he's played every game. Hasn't missed a start.
Let's not forget the changes coming to more defensive players, so it's going to be even harder to hit a quarterback anyway. So a lot more going to be playing until 40 anyway. We're good.
Exactly. And then one more thing I want to bring up about Michael Penix. He can play on script. He can play off schedule. It doesn't matter what you need. He can. Oh, my God, that throw was beautiful. The ref was also a defender, and he fit the ball right past the ref. The ref didn't even have to move. But the ref was in the throwing lane. Like, oh, my God. Like, I don't know, man. Like, when I watch Michael Penix throw the ball, like, no diddy, it's arousing.
Like, you know, I'm not playing. I get it. Ain't no shame.
Being a lefty, like, seeing him, oh, my Lord, seeing him rip passes across the middle, rip passes in between safeties. Like, man, this Texas game, he was playing Madden out here.
Can somebody get Rizzy a towel? He needs a towel. Yeah, one of the old ones. It's fine.
But yes, the reason why I have number two is maybe his ceiling is a little tapped or capped because of his age. That's the only reason why I got him number two.
Fair enough. You feel so strongly about it. But Penix is electric. So there's no argument there at all. The guy's so much fucking fun to watch.
The man was on the bench freestyling to his teammates. Before leading a comeback, he was down. He was losing. The team was losing. He was freestyling on the bench about how they were going to win the game. And then he went on to win the game.
Won the game. See? Leadership. So I like that. Kid's going to be a star. I don't care where he goes, but
man,
another one where,
perfect landing
spot. Where's he going to start?
Perfect landing spot for Michael Penix, and he'll succeed when rookie of the year, the Raiders.
Ooh, I like that a lot.
Him, Davante Adams.
You come in here, you get Davante Adams for your receiver. Oh, my God.
I think his name is Michael Mayer. I think he's a really good up
and coming man. He's going to have a breakout next year, I think.
Yeah. I mean,
fantasy tip.
yeah. That's someplace I think he'll go and he'll thrive. Or, I said it before, I'll say it again, Seattle.
Yeah, Seattle's going to be a hot place to go that year.
He
lots to work with.
He might have to sit under Geno. He might win the job. You never know.
Right, it's talented enough.
Yeah. So fuck, I think Michael Penix is being overlooked.
Oh boy.
Because a lot of scouts have him six.
Yeah, I'm seeing a lot of that too. I think it's the knees. Everybody's just like,
and how much of that has to do with football?
Nothing really. But just...
So knees. You're rating him six because of knees. I'm sorry, but that doesn't have to do with football at all. Like, what about when he throws the ball? Like, you know, like this is what I hate about scouts. They pick and choose when they want to critique somebody, right? Because you got a guy like Michael Penix who can make every fucking throw across the field. And then they want to say, oh, guys like Lamar Jackson, all they are running backs disguised in a quarterback's body.
Oh, we heard the same thing about Fields the entire time he was with us.
Exactly. So, like, wait, you're docking Michael Penix because he can make every throw, but he hasn't showcased athleticism? But then you're docking Lamar Jackson because he showcased athleticism, but hasn't showcased that he can make every throw coming out of loop. Like, what do you guys want?
Two-time MVP.
How many time Heisman Trophy finalists?
Oh, all of them.
Every time he was in fucking college, he was a finalist for the Heisman. There you go. What the fuck?
Just a running back.
And Michael Penix damn near won the Heisman this year. He only lost to the number one quarterback on my ranking.
And who would that be?
Mr. Jaden Daniels from LSU. Now,
I had a feeling.
Jaden Daniels, his pro comp, and he reminds me a lot of this guy, especially coming out as a prospect, RG3.
Oh, boy, that's big.
RG3, number two pick in the 2012 draft, dual threat quarterback, Jaden Daniels, dual threat quarterback. I don't know what 40 time he'd run. In my opinion, if I were to guess, he'd probably run like 4.4, high 4.4s. But Jaden Daniels won the Heisman.
Damn.
40 touchdowns. Four picks. You seen that? 40 touchdowns, four picks.
Boom.
He doesn't put the ball in bad spots. He can play on schedule, like I mentioned. He can play off schedule. He can create with his legs. I mean, he is the perfect quarterback for today's NFL. He's patient in the pocket, consistent with his footwork. He's gotten better and better each season he's been in the since he's been at Arizona State. If you don't include the season he got hurt, I don't include that season because obviously he got hurt.
That's fair. Totally fair.
But to me, Jaden Daniels is arguably the most complete quarterback in this draft, depending on how you look at it. Like I said, can make all the off-platform throws, can drive the ball down the field, shows touch across the middle, consistent with his footwork. I mean, there's really nothing to hate when it comes to Jaden Daniels. Like, when they talk about things that they have questions about with Jaden Daniels, it's all shit that doesn't have to do anything with football. Like his weight.
Oh, what?
Like, what the fuck? Like,
what?
So you're telling me you're not going to draft him number one overall if you had the number one overall pick just because of his weight? Even though you mentioned, I forgot who said this, but even though you mentioned that he's a better quarterback than Caleb Williams?
Yep.
So, like, I don't know. In my opinion, a lot of the shit surrounding Jaden Daniels and my number two quarterback, Michael Penix, doesn't make sense because a lot of these questions have nothing to do with the game of football.
Mm.
When you look at these guys on film and you look at these guys during their pro days, everything looks the same. These guys are consistent. I'm talking about when it comes to Jaden Daniels and Michael Penix, these two guys in particular. I'm talking about before they throw the ball during their pro days, they're looking down the middle of the field like they're staring down a safety, and then they go through their progression, and then they throw the ball. Everything is simulating what they do in a real game. You see how Jaden Daniels is going throughout his read right now?
Yeah, absolutely.
I don't know if you saw his head moving, but like, and then look at this manipulate. Like, there he manipulated the safety to take the deep over route. I think it was a deep post, the bang eight, so he could hit that corner route by Malik Nabers. Like, the way he manipulates defenses, I didn't say this about Michael Penix, but I can say the same about him. The way he manipulates defense is like very veteran quarterback, like very savvy of a quarterback. I'm excited to see what he does on the next level. I would have said his pro comp is Lamar Jackson, but he doesn't have the same wiggle.
Nah.
Like, Lamar Jackson got a different type of wiggle when he runs. Jaden Daniels, he got real good straight line speed, just like RG3. That's why I compared him more to RG3
like
than
that.
Lamar Jackson.
And I like people forget that comp.
RG3 won the Heisman.
That's right.
RG3 won Rookie of the Year over Andrew Luck.
That's correct.
RG3 only had his career gone to shit because of injuries and terrible coaching.
That's right.
So I think Jaden Daniels, it looks like he's going to go to the Commanders. They're going to get a gift.
I was going to say, how do you feel about that?
gift. That would be a gift. I think it's a match made in heaven. I think Cliff Kingsbury is a great quarterback coach. Not so much head coach, but great quarterback coach.
He's
great
right.
offensive coordinator. I think Jaden Daniels would thrive in the system. I think Jaden Daniels will love Terry McLaurin and love Jahan Dotson. I think the running backs there are going to be more than enough to win with Austin Ekeler and Brian Robinson. He has weapons around him once he goes to the Commanders. I think their offense is going to be fun to watch for years to come because all of those pieces are relatively young.
Yep, that's absolutely true.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that'd be dope. Wow. Okay, yeah, I mentioned before, and it's like everyone is saying it's Caleb at number one. Fine. But that option is still available. If someone wants to move up and get Caleb from us, and we do end up with like a Jaden Daniels and like some like three first round picks, like I would be over the moon, the same way I am about just this exciting new chapter. So my comps are similar to yours. I do want to bring up one thing though, and I think it's hilarious that you didn't include this name, and I want to know why. And that's Drake May.
Exactly.
A lot of experts are putting Drake May's name as like the number two in a lot of mocks. So I'm curious on, he didn't make even your top six. Why do you think there's such a wide gap between what you're seeing and what like the people who are paid to talk about this shit are seeing?
See, they look at Drake May's highlights and they go, wow, that was a really good throw. And you know what? I'm going to agree with them. Some of Drake May's throws are fucking spectacular, but they're too far fucking fetched and in between. Like, you don't see enough of those. Like, Drake May, I think he has shit footwork.
It's around the gate.
I think he needs a lot of work. I think he's going to be an interception waiting to happen.
Oh, yep.
I don't see, like, starting quarterback value when I look at Drake May because of those things. Like, you want to say, oh, because he can make these throws, his upside is so high. But what about all the other throws he misses? Like, you're just going to ignore the fact that he can't throw a five-yard out? You're going to ignore the fact that he can't recognize a blitz and check out of a play to something else? You're not going to recognize the fact that if it's not a bomb.
Yeah, it just happened.
Look, exactly. If it's not a bomb, giving you shit. Like, and that's what I see from Drake May. I see Joey Harrington with Mitchell Trubisky's legs.
I was literally going to say the exact same thing about Trubisky's legs. Like, I've seen these legs before in this school.
And the thing that really does it for me, or doesn't do it for me, so to say, when it comes to Drake May, is he doesn't drop back straight. He will drift one way or the other right into pressure. Watch it. Watch this drop.
Oh, so, yeah, you saw it. He hooked his drop, yeah.
And you know why that's bad? Because that's going to tell the defense exactly where you're going with the ball.
Mm-hmm.
Easy to read. You think you're doing that with fucking Kyle Hamilton back there?
Oh, no.
You think you don't get away with that with fucking Justin Reed or Derwin James? Fucking somebody like that? Minka Fitzpatrick? You can pick the fuck off.
Oh, Fitzpatrick, get you.
And I see a lot of raw arm talent. Yes, I really do. Strong arm, can throw the ball all over the field. Decision making, question mark. Accuracy, question mark. Footwork, question mark. Being able to recognize a defense and manipulate a defense with his eyes, question mark. Like, all of these things you need to play quarterback at the highest level, I have question marks on. That's why he's off the list.
He's off the list, but he's number two in a lot of people's hearts. To the tune of,
look at his drop. You see what he just did?
Like, I believe we're looking at like the future Patriots quarterback right here.
And he's going to be fucked.
I'm just,
who is he going to in New England? Who is
he
going to
in New England? Nobody out there. Wow. Hunter Henry? Did he lead to?
I don't know.
I don't even know. That's a high.
They got fucking Juju and Devontae Parker.
Right. Woo.
There you go,
guys. Yep. That's cool. I was just interested because I know how high he is ranked. And I just go, I don't get it either. It makes no fucking sense to me, especially being a Bears fan. This dude is a North Carolina quarterback. We've seen this movie before. I've seen this fucking tape before. His name was Mitch Trubisky. This is the same shit you were saying about Trubisky, almost to a T. It's scary. And a lot of those motherfucking experts had Trubisky 1-2 overall. That's as far as he went. And I was like, I looked at that tape and said, what the fuck are you seeing that you think he's this fucking high? Look at Trubisky now. And you can say what you want about him being a starting quarterback for the Bears in a shitty situation. We hear all that. No, Trubisky, it just was not the guy. And we put a lot of chips on that fucking card. And I said, what are we doing? So we've been trying to fix that mistake for fucking years. So, yeah, again, if Caleb Williams, who is my number one, and he's number one for me, and a lot of it is just intangibles. And I see the Mahomes comparison, and I go, let's not be ridiculous. But I think the one thing that he does like Mahomes are those ridiculous, like, angle passes. It's those weird passes that no one sees coming because, like, you're throwing a frisbee. And Mahomes gets away with that a lot. It's something I also kind of feel is eventually going to get figured out, and Mahomes is going to lose that trick, and it's not going to work as well anymore. It's the same reason the Bears got figured out in 1 year after they won the division 2018. Everyone figured out the trick plays, and it was over. So all I'm saying is Caleb is inventive with his throws, but I see the argument for Daniels being just a more complete quarterback just from his tape alone is lightning in a bottle. So I'm cool with either one. My rank is just more about that. For me, I feel the same way about May, too, is I don't know why he's two. I feel he's late sixth round, maybe. Like, it's late quarterback. Late quarterback for him. The rest of them, I do like Penix. I am somebody who's a little nervous about his knees, only because he's on the smaller side, and I don't want him to get destroyed. But it depends on where he goes. I think the right system, he's going to be a star.
Did you see Penix run at his pro day?
He's absolutely on fire right now. So
No. I'm talking about, like, because he was, like, he looked like a tank. He did not look small.
I guess so. I'm going more off his tape, but I guess, yeah, I didn't notice. I don't watch all the pro day like that. Just more about running and the 40-yard and shit. But as long as he's healthy, like, he's going to be a fucking star. So that's the same comparison I would have for any dual-threat quarterback is how are the knees. But I don't believe he should be as low-ranked as people are making him out to be. Like, take him at number two. That'd be awesome, too. I'd take it. But I'm not in that position. We're at one, and I just think for us, it has to be Williams. But I'm very happy if it's Daniels, too. If it's Drake May, I swear to God, I might burn a jersey. That might be it. So we really can't mess that up.
It can't be. It can't be.
It can't, right?
Like, that's just, no, it's no. There's no way. There's no way.
It's like PTSD.
That would shock the world.
There's still a few mocks out there that go like, oh, the Bears are going to trade the number one for just a whole bunch of picks and go down to like 20 and just ride with like Tyson Bagent for a year. And I go, that's insane.
No, that's not going to happen.
That's insane. But they're putting it in the universe and it makes me fucking nervous.
They could have just, that's not going to happen because they would have just kept Fields, right?
You forget how dumb this organization has been for so fucking long. I have to hope there's a plan. We're going to stay with it, folks. Again, big draft is coming up less than a month. I can't fucking wait because there's so many just top-tier talents, especially on the offensive side coming in. So there's a lot of the futures of a lot of franchises at stake here. So I love when it gets like this fucking exciting. How about some last words for your adoring fans, sir?
Man, I was watching, I think it was on Sunday, if I'm not mistaken. I was watching the Oklahoma City Thunder play the New York Knicks.
Yeah.
And this game was, oh my God, I've loved every minute of this game. It was back and forth. Knicks would go on a run. Thunder would go on a run. That boy, Jalen Williams, put some fucking respect on his name. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander was struggling the whole night. Jalen Williams said, you know what? I got y'all. I forgot how many points he had. He probably had like 38 or something like that. But every bucket was felt. No Diddy.
Oh, that's still funny.
Jalen Brunson was out there doing his thing. Like, this game felt like a playoff game.
Mm.
But when it came down to it, when the palms was sweaty and OKC had to have it, they gave the ball to a struggling Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, and he hit the most Kobe fadeaway turnaround jumper I've seen this season. Turnaround jumper for game. I think this might have been the second time he had a turnaround jumper, maybe second time from my recollection, that he had a turnaround jumper for game on some Kobe shit on the baseline.
Mm.
That boy, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, is like that. Doesn't matter if he's shooting terribly. Doesn't matter how many points he has. If the game is on the line, make sure he does not catch the ball or else you will lose. The Oklahoma City Thunder are going to be a force to be reckoned with, not just this season, because they're not going to hit their stride and their peak this season, but for years to come. They are going to be a scary, scary team.
I love it. It's about fucking time, because the Thunder has always been like that dope-ass team that's just on the cusp of putting it together and really fucking these teams up. So I love it. It's a good youth movement, man. And yeah, dude, like you said, future face of the NBA right there. One of the faces of the NBA, for sure. It's in good hands. And we're going to have plenty to talk about next week on that front, because the NBA playoffs are going to be just about set. I mean, the East is so fucking wide open, it feels like it's going to take one day to set six fucking spots. But the West, a little bit more of a deeper profile. We'll get into the full analysis of the NBA playoffs next week's episode. That one's going to be a hot one, so make sure you don't miss that. Before that and in between time, you know, check out the socials. Make sure you see up the Bank Bro Show on YouTube, Facebook, and at gmail.com. And you know we're at Bank Bro Show on Instagram. Still got a lot of votes that I need tallied up for a few videos, so make sure you hit us up there. We got more content coming your way very soon, so stay tuned, folks. But you know where to find us. You know where we are, because we're in your city. We're here for you like we always are, and you can bank on it. Peace.
One, two.